that we dealt with in chapter 1, verses 18, 19. So we'll take a look at this doctrine, a new one I haven't taught since I've been here, so another one you can add to your list. Roman numeral 1. First, we'll look at a description of redemption and its etymology. Etymology is simply looking at the history of the word, as over history, what its meaning is, and how it may develop other definitions or nuances that are attached to it. Sometimes a word can mean one thing early on in history, and then later on in history, it takes on a different sense, like the word cool, you know, growing up in my generation. Everybody used to say, oh, that's cool. The word, you know, originally meant that it's a little chilly outside. You know, the temperature, it looks the temperature. But now, you know, you can use it, and it looks at things that one looks at and says, that's cool. It's keen. You know, yeah, I'm dating myself, that's all right. But it's still cool. All right, first of all, redemption theologically, as is applied in regards to Bible doctrine, is a concept portraying one of the many facets of Christ's work on the cross. There are different aspects in regards to Jesus Christ being on the cross and what that means in different ways. B, it is one of several terms associated with soteriology, that's the study of salvation, and Christology, including justification, sanctification, imputation, reconciliation, and propitiation. Redemption is one of those terms to be inserted in there. Justification simply looks at God providing an equal playing field in regards to having a relationship with Him, equalizing us so we can have a relationship with Him. Sanctification looks at God setting the believer apart for His own purpose as being His children and His family, etc. Imputation looks at the provision of absolute righteousness given to us at the point of saving faith, which obviously is part of the justification process. Reconciliation, the synonym is simply peace. Christ provided peace, spiritual peace, between man and God through His work on the cross. And then propitiation, the simplest synonym for that is satisfaction. Christ's work was satisfactory with respect to God's demand for what He provided for man's salvation. And the principles of justification, sanctification, imputation all look at Jesus Christ's work on the cross as it is directed towards us as believers. Reconciliation looks at His work on the cross as it's directed to both God and man. He removed the sin barrier. Propitiation looks at His work on the cross as it's directed to God. God is satisfied with the plus R that He gave up for our behalf. And then redemption, obviously, looks at Christ's work on the cross, again, directed towards us. So, see, to give you a little background in regards to these terms, don't let theological terms throw you. You know, people like to throw them out. They're easily understandable. But it's good to recognize these terms when they're used. So, see, it's terminology now for redemption, to redeem. It finds beginnings in the Old Testament with the thought of property. Its first uses in the Pentateuch is found in Leviticus 25, 25 through 27. And under the law, God made provision to help out those who became in debt or so poor that it caused loss of property, etc. And we see here in Leviticus 25, if a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor, he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold in order to make ends meet. Their last resort is what a value they have, and obviously the Jews were given land proportioned in regards to the tribes, etc. And if they had to sell off their property, then the proper application was for their nearest, closest relative, if they had the means, obviously. And if they don't, then down the line to one who does have the means is to help them out, bail them out, apply grace, see, and to buy it back. And then verse 26, where in case a man has no kinsman, maybe he's ended up being an only child's parents are gone, you know, that type of situation, but so recovers his means as to find sufficient for his redemption, then he shall calculate the years since the sale and refund the balance to the man, the one whom he sold it, and so return to his property. So in the case that God turned around their financial problems and they could actually go in, get the money to get their property back, the Jews were not to hang on to that property. They were to allow it to be sold back, and they would just simply use a calculation of as in regards to what he still owed on the property, and they figured, you know, what they had, the use of it, was sufficient payment for having the value of the property up to that point in time. A little different the way our laws work, isn't it? You put the banks in there and it becomes a whole different ball game. But anyway, that's our first indication of the principle of redemption, as to find sufficient for its redemption, to redeem it, to purchase it back. And then a clear case of it is found in the book of Ruth. For practical application, and this concerns Boaz, etc. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside, sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. He said to the closest relative, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here, before the elders of my people. In other words, you need to apply, you know, kinsman redeemer redemption principle in regards to Naomi. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I will redeem it. So he's obviously trying to follow God's law, take the closest, and he's saying, you know, I'm a little bit down the line. If nobody else can do it and help her out, I'll do it. So you see the application applied. And that's through positive volition. Make an application. So that's where we first find how this term's used. The nearest relative that had the financial capability to purchase that property on behalf of another was known as the kinsman redeemer. This principle was further exercised with respect to persons becoming slaves to resident aliens as a result of debt. And again, that's back to Leviticus 25, as later on in that chapter, we see a second means of application. First is towards real estate. The second is towards those who have to sell themselves or find themselves in slavery because of debt. And that's verses 47 through 49 Now, if the means of a stranger or of a sojourner with you become sufficient, and a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to him, that would be a stranger or a sojourner would be a resident alien, basically, in the land. And a Jew becomes so poor with regard to him as to sell himself to a stranger who is sojourning with you, or descendants of a stranger's family. In other words, in debt, and the only way he can help his family out and acquire means for living grace, maybe for him and his family, so he becomes indentured, if you will. And an indentured servant, he sells himself and becomes a slave to help get cash, you know, for the household. And then he shall have redemption right for one who finds himself in this position. After he has been sold, one of his brothers may redeem him and go and get him out. He has those redemption rights to get him out of this slavery or situation of bondage. Or his uncle or his uncle's sons may redeem him, or one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem him. Or if he prospers, obviously, he can redeem himself. So, you have the two cases here in Leviticus, one towards property, the second towards one getting in debt and actually having to sell themselves in slavery to make ends meet. And the principle of a kinsman redeemer can be applied in both cases. So if money is paid according to the law to buy back something that must be delivered or rescued. Another example of that is Nehemiah 5:8. And I said to them, we, according to our ability, have redeemed our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations. Now will you even sell your brothers that they might may be sold to us? Then they were silent and could not find a word to say. So that recognizes this principle as has been applied in regards to Jewish history. So G, these financial transactions further shadow Christology, the study of Christ, teaching Jesus as the kinsman redeemer of mankind. And we did that particular doctrine when we went through Revelation 5. So this doctrine of redemption obviously has direct correlation with Jesus Christ as a kinsman redeemer. All right, let's take a break.